Welcome to another edition of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn Radio. We are now on Google Play as well. Anywhere you get your podcast, you can get Locked On Bulls. You can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries or basketball questions. You can also follow us and send us questions at Locked On Bulls on Twitter. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, we're kind of getting into the dead period of the summer now. The Olympics are starting next week, and we got something new to talk about, though.
It's a dead period. Rankings list.
It's rankings list time
because it is August 2nd. And nobody gets to play an NBA game until, I don't know, October 3rd or something. So we got 2 hard months of rankings lists. And today we had CBSSports.com.
Which is Cody's employer's parent company.
Absolutely. A lot of umbrella there and different tentacles, I would say. But the Bulls, starting lineup rankings and bench unit rankings from the bright staff of, I think, 5 or so CBS.com writers.
And those guys are all great, by the way. That's one of the best NBA staffs out there. Matt Moore, I've known for years. Zach Harper is great. James Herbert, Anand Pandian, Ken Berger. I don't know who exactly voted on this staff, but those guys are all terrific.
This is not one man's list. This is a conglomerate. And your Chicago Bulls rank, according to them, with the 15th best starting lineup in the NBA, which I just read a little bit ago. And I was like, it starts from 30, goes down to 1 on your webpage. So I'm scrolling, I'm like, the Bulls, they aren't on here yet. They aren't on here. And then, boom, number 15 nestled between the Rockets at 16 and the New York Knicks with a lot of former Chicago Bulls at number 14. Does that make sense? Is that what you think, Sean? 15th in the NBA starting lineup?
15's reasonable. That's kind of where I would put them too. I certainly wouldn't put them in the top 10. If you wanted to talk me into the top 10 and to write up for that on the CBS list said that one person voted them ninth, you could talk me into them being in the top 10. If you know a lot of that is going to really depend on the three alphas really, you know, clicking and really meshing and really all agreeing to take a step back, and everybody willing to share the ball. And by the way, just to put this out there, their projection for the starting lineup is the same as ours, with the three alphas, Robin Lopez at center and then Nikola Mirotic at power forward. So that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and the criteria, it wasn't like super in depth or anything. I just think best being most talented, coolest basketball players at what they do. I would question whether, I guess maybe that's a middle ground, because the Bulls, you could argue maybe their starting lineup has top 10 or 12 talent in the NBA. Fit, I don't think they would rank in the top 20 or 25 of the NBA. So maybe that's a little middle ground, but I was a little surprised by that, because the Bulls do have a lot of talent here, no doubt. And, you know, I think Rajon Rondo could have a little bit of a comeback year in the sense. I know he had put up good numbers last year in Sacramento.
As we've gone over so many times, though, a lot of it was stat padding.
Yeah, some empty numbers. But, I mean, I think he still has talent left. And if this team starts off well in training camp, liking each other, which they do like each other so far, that's a good start. I mean, that's part of the reason
they don't
the
dislike
Bulls,
each other.
Maybe that's the best way to put it, actually. But Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade have seemed to get along very well here so far. And I do think if they can get off to a little bit of a good start, there could be some good vibes. And I think a lot of it is attitude for guys like Rondo, just how you're feeling every day, how much you bring it. And if that's the case, I do think his talent that he has can still shine through. Now, we're not here under any smoke and mirrors that he's going to be great at defense or anything like that. But, I mean, he still has basketball talent, can see the floor very well. A guy who can get 12 and 10 still, based purely off his basketball instincts and skills. Now, the rest of it, I don't know. What is Nikola Mirotic this year? How much can Robin Lopez bring to the Bulls? Is he that good? The 15 still, I'm hemming and hawing on it a little bit.
Mirotic is really the wild card here, because he, you know, as we talked about before, Mirotic is a guy that, you know, theoretically you understand why he's here in the starting lineup instead of Taj Gibson, because he's the one guy in this lineup who's at least theoretically a threat to shoot from three-point range, which is something that everybody kind of needs one guy who can do that in the modern NBA. You can't run out lineup with literally zero spacing and just, like, hope that Jimmy Butler gets back to league average from three-point range. You can't just hope that. So you need a guy like Mirotić that teams at least have to respect from behind the three-point line. Now, whether he actually makes those shots, I don't know. I mean, he's been, like, he came into the league a couple years ago as somebody with a reputation as just this knockdown outside shooter, you know, a real stretch four, like a Ryan Anderson type. He has shown that at times. He'll have streaks where he'll go three or four games of shooting the ball really well from the outside, and then he'll have another streak where then he'll shoot, like, 20% for a stretch of four games.
Yeah, and I think some of it with Nico, a lot of it actually, is the mental aspect. And, I mean, this is going to sound a little blunt, but he's not as mentally tough, I don't think, as some other Bulls, as some other NBA players. And I think big part of that is the transition from overseas. I think he's already gone through two coaches. He went through the whole charade of two positions. Tibbs tried him at small forward there in his rookie season, just getting his talent and skill on the floor.
It didn't work.
But he's admitted time and again that it is a mental game for him and that his confidence has to stay up. So when I say that, I mean, a lot of that's coming straight from Nico's mouth as well, and then me just with this outside perspective here. But he's got to be better mentally. I mean, a mental warrior all season, you know? I mean, if he goes 2 for 10 or 2 for 11 one night, he's admitted that it carries over to the next game at times. That can't happen for the Bulls this year because you just touched on it. It's zero spacing if he can't do anything from the outside. So the consistency, I don't think, comes so much in the physical aspect as the mental aspect. And we have touched on this before. The Bulls can help him out by getting him those corner threes, those below the break threes that are closer, and getting him shots where he's set instead of off the dribble. But that too ties back to the mental aspect. He can't be out there trying to do too much and dribbling on his own and then firing up threes, and that's a decision-making process. So can Nico do that? I don't know yet.
Right, and it's the kind of thing where, you know, having Wade and Butler, two guys that are going to command a double team when they have the ball in their hands, that's going to, you know, set up a lot of open shots for him. So I think the hope is that he's going to get better looks, and that as a result of getting better looks, he's just going to be able to knock down a lot of those catch and shoots. I remember I did a piece in, like, December of last year where I went on Synergy and I watched all of his possessions where he was shooting.
What'd you find?
And I was looking at when he did the pump, when he did a pump fake before a shot and when he didn't. I don't have the exact percentages in front of me, and this was obviously in December, so it's not indicative of the whole season. But he shot a respectable percentage. It was like in the 30s somewhere from three when he didn't pump fake, and it was like in the teens when he did.
We need to make a list of things Bulls fans hate most. Nico's pump fakes would have to be top three or five, right? What else do Bulls fans hate most? And maybe we'll solicit that question on Twitter for a later episode, or you guys can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com.
Based on a lot of our Twitter mentions, Gar Foreman is number one.
Nico Mirotic's pump fakes. We'd have to spend more time thinking here, but I think we could come up with a list, because that's really high up there for Nico.
For last year's team, there was a lot of eye-rolling among people that follow us on Twitter whenever Derrick Rose missed a game for precautionary reasons, even though point out that I was fine with him doing that, because I thought that was smart, but whenever I tweeted that, I would get the same jokes about his injuries and stuff.
So, I think we got Gar Foreman 1, Nico Mirotic's pump fakes, Derrick Rose's quotes when he was still with the Bulls.
Right.
I think those probably frustrated. I think the explanation probably frustrated people more than anything else. But we'll touch on that on a later episode, but did want to tie this Twitter question into the subject at hand. BullsBR via Twitter asks us, what do you suggest to minimize the expected floor spacing issues for the Bulls? And we just did touch on Nico, but what more can the Bulls do, Sean, than ask Nico to hit a lot of three-pointers? Anything they can do basketball-wise, cutting, letting Rondo do stuff, anything at all, the way they approach it?
Well, it's really just going to depend on how certain guys shoot. If Jimmy Butler, who shot 31% from three last year, and I think 37 or 38 the year before that, if he can get back up to the higher 30s, get back up to league average, that's a guy who's going to take up a lot of possessions. And if he's a credible threat to hit threes, which he really wasn't last year, then that'll obviously help with their spacing. If Denzel Valentine gets on the floor and gets a lot of minutes, then he'll help because he's a guy that can shoot. Doug McDermott, if he's not so much of a defensive liability that he can't stay on the floor, he's a guy he was one of the best three-point shooters in the league last year, so he'll get some touches, I think.
Yeah, and I think if you're not going to be able to make threes, I guess the opposite of spacing the floor would be just powering through people in some form and going to the post, going to the block. The Bulls aren't going to have a traditional post-up man much here because Pau Gasol is gone. I mean, that's what he did in recent seasons. But if you're not going to space the floor really well, that's going to make it harder to cut through the floor with Rondo looking for Butler and Dwayne Wade. But then again, I think Jimmy and Dwayne need to get to the free throw line. And they can do that by taking their men off the bounce and then creating contact. Because they've been pretty good about that in recent years. Do you see that happening, Sean?
Possibly.
That's what they need. Because I that's a really good question. And I think you're kind of out of luck if you can't shoot at all. Moving on, though, CBS Sports also had bench rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Not just starting unit. Bulls 15th among starters. 8th. Among the bench rankings out of the 30 NBA teams. It's a lofty ranking. If you have a top 15 starting unit and then a top 8 bench unit, I don't know, that can project to a top 12 NBA team maybe. Is that where the Bulls finish? I don't think they're a top 12 NBA team, but the bench does have some promise. Does that spot feel right to you?
I think top 10 is reasonable for the bench. They have depth. Taj Gibson obviously helps a lot there because he's one of the most versatile front court guys. He can play both ends of the floor. He's a great defender. He does everything. He does the dirty work. He's a guy that's going to get a lot of minutes off the bench. It's really going to come down to whether Doug McDermott can take a step forward, whether Bobby Portis can get more consistent.
Absolutely.
You know, if who out of the backup point guards, whether it's Jerian Grant or Spencer Dinwiddie or Isaiah Cannon, if any of those guys can really establish themselves in the rotation consistently. It's going to come down to that. Denzel Valentine, I think, is going to need to play a lot of minutes.
Yeah, and it should be noted, those rankings were based off CBS Sports projecting Tony Snell among the Bulls'
Tony
second five.
Snell is and, not going to be a significant part of the Bulls' rotation.
I think Tony Snell's completely fallen out of the picture, out of favor. You spend a first round draft pick, number 14 overall, on Denzel Valentine. I see no reason on earth for Tony Snell to ever be playing minutes that Denzel Valentine, for example, could be playing. And we did get a question from WordPress Mike via Twitter. What position do you see Denzel Valentine playing the most minutes at? I would say shooting guard, because that's what his natural position is, kind of when the Bulls drafted him. That's what they viewed him at. Obviously, he's really comfortable with the ball in his hands, but between Rondo obviously playing point guard minutes, and then the Bulls having three backup point guards here trying to compete for minutes. Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade wanting the ball in their hands, too. I see him mostly at shooting guard. Is that what you think?
Yeah, shooting guard, just because he's probably going to be either shooting guard or small forward, but if Jimmy's going to be starting at the three, he's going to be playing a lot more minutes than Wade. I think we expect Wade, and we talked about this the other day, that Wade is probably going to still, you know, hover around 30, 31 minutes like he did the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, and back to the bench unit part, though. I mean, we say it's reasonable for the Bulls to have a top 10 bench in the NBA. First of all, because they won the Summer League, obviously.
They are Summer League champions.
Summer League champions.
You can't argue with results.
Yes, absolutely. Facts only on this
was
podcast.
Was Chris Felicio on the Bulls on the,
I don't
CBS
think
list?
CBS, they didn't list Chris Felicio.
Because he is their backup center.
Yeah, but they listed Taj and Bobby as the backup big man unit. And Chris, I mean, if he's
he'll
your
minutes,
11th,
though.
12th man, I mean, I think you feel okay with that because he did flash some promise. But we would put Valentine in for Snell and then say that's why we think it's
sure.
reasonable there in that regard. But moving on with some Twitter questions as well. Alex via Twitter, going back to our spacing issues here, says, what happens when Rajon Rondo is hitting open teammates and cutters, but Jimmy and D-Wade are demanding the ball? I think that question from Alex is a bit contradictory in the fact that a lot of the time, the person Rondo will be hitting is D-Wade and Jimmy Butler, because those are the guys that, when they're flashing through the lane, are going to be able to finish at the rim. It's not like Robin Lopez here is going to be starting at the three-point line and then cutting to the hoop and being found by Rondo. It's these wing guys, and it's kind of actions off the pick and roll. But do you see any problems there just in the fact of D-Wade and Jimmy wanting the ball and Rondo maybe having it too much? I think that might be the basis of his question, viewing it from a different light.
Yeah, that would be the one area where I think that there's a possibility for there to be issues there. But like you said, I think the guys that are going to be getting the ball from Rondo a lot are going to be Wade and Butler. And now, as far as we know, whether guys are going to complain, it's going to just depend on results. If they're winning, then I think guys are going to be okay with the distribution of shots. But if they're losing, and then Jimmy or Wade feel like they're not getting as many looks as they would like, then there might be some problems.
And again, Dwayne Wade said, you know, this is going to take time. And we asked him the press conference the other day, what are fair expectations, Dwayne? And he pretty much sidestepped the question, which I understand he didn't want to say, we want to win a championship. That's not what anyone wanted to hear, because they didn't want to hear false air, you know what I mean?
Right.
But at the same time, it's not like he set 50 wins or 45 wins or said, I think we can get to the Eastern Conference Finals and give the Cavs a really good run. I was just looking for any perspective, kind of, from him there. He didn't give a lot, but at the same time, Wade indicated it's going to take some time for this Bulls team to come together, but I don't know that they have a ton of time because they need a good start. So if it takes the Bulls a long time to come together, don't you think that could be a little problematic? Like, if this team gets off to a 5-12 start, that's a problem, because then it's just going to snowball. You know what I mean? This isn't a young, up-and-coming team. This is a veteran, a team with veterans. I know the Bulls have a lot of young guys, but they're in two different worlds here, and they're led by these veterans where we could see there possibly being problems.
They do have a lot of young guys, and they did technically get younger, but the guys that are going to be getting most of the minutes, the three alphas and Robin Lopez, that's four of the five starters, are not young.
Yeah.
And even Nikola Mirotic, who's the quote-unquote young guy in this lineup, he's 26.
Yeah, and so I just think it is really important for the Bulls to get a good start in that regard. Moving on to another thing, though, Jimmy Butler, if the Bulls do have problems, chemistry problems, you know what he can do?
What can he do?
He can sing.
He can?
He's been singing with Team USA.
So he can can he sing? Yes. Can he sing well?
He can serenade the locker room with vocals. With his
with Vanessa Carlton.
Beautiful vocals.
He
Jimmy
was playing
Butler.
Air piano at
the
same
time.
At
the
same time.
So after Team USA destroyed Venezuela at the United Center on Friday night in an exhibition game, Jimmy Butler first got photos with the Venezuelan team as he went to the locker room. They were asking him for photos like he was Kobe Bryant or something overseas. So that just shows Jimmy's stature now. And they asked a handful of American players for him. And Jimmy was more than happy to take a couple moments with the Venezuelan players.
He is one of the three alphas, after all.
That's very, very true. But after that, Team USA boarded a flight. And he was singing Vanessa Carlton's 1,000 miles, or excuse me, 1,000 miles, and Kyrie Irving was in on the gig and on the song. He was totally buying it.
I think
DeMarcus
much,
Cousins liked it.
I think pretty much everybody was except for Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony, when the old cell phone video scanned his way, had a stoic look on his face, and he was not having a lot of fun there. Just a blank expression. Just a blank stare. Carmelo, 32, the oldest guy on Team USA, then later joked that he was going to take away Jimmy Butler's speakers.
Which is not unprecedented. If you remember a couple of years ago, Nazi Muhammad, when he was on the Bulls in 2014 and 2015, Jimmy was always playing country music in the locker room before games, and Nazi was not feeling it.
Yeah, so Jimmy Butler also played country music in the car with DeMarcus Cousins. And we tell you this not to spread the word of Jimmy Butler's musical talents, but to give you a Jimmy Butler Team USA recruiting update. Jimmy Butler, DeMarcus Cousins getting along, because Cousins is subtly taking Snapchat videos of Jimmy singing, and then Jimmy singing Luke Bryan and more country songs with DeMarcus in the car as he shakes his head. So, important, DeMarcus Cousins, free agent, 2018. Dream big, Bulls fans.
There you go. I mean, maybe they're going to bond over country music, and that's going to be what leads DeMarcus Cousins to sign with the Bulls or demand a trade there in 2017.
You heard it here first, but Jimmy was asked at Team USA, the practice the day before the exhibition game, about recruitment. And Jimmy said, "What recruitment are you talking about?" And then everyone joked, and Jimmy gave some just bland cliche comment about he gets along with everyone and it's good to hang out with them. We also have a question from Jacob via Twitter, who's playing and coaching for the Windy City Bulls, which is the Chicago Bulls D-League team that will fire up play. We're not exactly sure.
Yeah, there hasn't really been much word about that. Windy City Bulls unveiled their court design a couple weeks ago, which looks pretty cool. But that's about all there's been as far as D-League news when it comes to the Bulls.
There was a misinformed, incorrect Twitter report about a North Carolina State assistant that panned out to be nothing. And I did ask Gar Forman, for you guys, because I know you've been asking, I did ask him the other day after the Dwayne Wade press conference about that, and he gave nothing away. He said, oh, don't worry about it, basically. We'll let you know when we have any news and information. And I did ask PR for an update, too, and they said they don't have anything impending right away. So we'll keep you updated. I feel like they should have had a coach by now. You know what I mean?
You would think.
Like, but this is, I guess, typical Bulls. And Gar Forman, he guarded it like it was a military code when I asked him the question.
That's, you know, kind of par for the course with any Bulls information, no matter how insignificant it is. Everything's a state secret.
Yeah, I wasn't even, I know they're not going to give away a name before they have someone's signature on the paper, but I was looking for a timeline. So it should be happening, obviously, in the next month or so, or before they get to training camp. They have to, but I'm sure that's something we'll keep watching. Moving on, William A. on Twitter asks, is it possible Taj Gibson gets traded after the All-Star break this upcoming season? Absolutely possible, because the trade deadline is usually about a week after the All-Star game, and that's when the flurry of activity is, usually in the few days before. So, yeah, absolutely possible. And, Sean, you've made your kind of feelings known on this before.
I think it's very, very, very possible that Taj gets traded. I thought before the Rondo and Wade stuff happened, going into free agency, I thought there was a pretty good chance that Taj would get moved this summer or on draft night, or at least during the free agency process, when it seemed like they were just going to go super young and do a quasi-rebuild. Obviously, once they signed Rondo and Wade, that was kind of out the window, because they're trying to win now, and if you're trying to win now, then Taj is a guy you want to keep on your roster. But I still think long-term, Taj is getting to 30. Is he 30 or 29 right now?
No, yeah, he's around 30 or so.
He's around,
2009, he was drafted around age 23. He's old for college.
He's in that age range. He's going to be commanding a lot of money on the open market. I don't think the Bulls are going to want to pay him what he's worth at this point in his age with the injuries that he's had. And it hasn't been any big injuries, just a kind of a lot of wear and tear stuff. It's going to be a kind of thing like with Luol Deng, where they were just like, somebody else can pay him when he's in his 30s. And so, yeah, I think if this season falls apart, I mean, obviously, if they're competing for a top 4 seed in the East, they're probably just going to hang on to everybody.
Absolutely.
and not make any moves at the deadline. And the Bulls have always been a team that's been pretty conservative about making moves at the deadline, as we saw last year when they had the opportunity to trade Pau to Sacramento and they decided not to pull the trigger on it, even though the season was kind of getting away from them. But if the season is going off the rails, then yeah, they could get a lot for Taj. I don't know about like a prospect and a pick, but they could probably get a decent-ish pick from a team that is in the playoff picture that feels like Taj would be the guy that would put them over. Like, I think there's value out there for Taj.
Marco Bellinelli went for the 22nd overall pick in the draft.
Yes.
So, I mean, he's a rotation guy.
But next year is supposed to be a much stronger draft than this year.
Yeah, so that's very true. They'll value their first-round picks more than they did this year's. But maybe that's a reference point to look at it. This should be a pretty quick question and response from us. Marcus via Twitter asks, wouldn't the best way to use Rondo be to have him play with the bench unit for quite a few minutes?
Try bringing that to Rondo, see how that goes over.
Yeah, just let him play with D-Wade and Jimmy. Like, that's who he talked to. He talked to Jimmy before he signed.
I do like the idea, if we can get them on board with it, I do like the idea of staggering minutes of Wade and Butler a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. And that's something that Fred Hoiberg admitted at the end of last year he was going to consider for this year, or kind of reevaluate in the offseason, the Derrick Rose Jimmy Butler dynamic, splitting them up a little more, having them not play as much together, and then carry the bench unit a little more, whoever he wanted to put with them. So certainly I think he'll look into it with Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade, and that's something we'll ask him too as the season gets started. Greek Bulls fan has a timely question.
Okay.
Via Twitter.
Okay.
Which one of you, referencing Sean and I, is a better basketball player? And who wins a game of horse? Very timely because, Sean,
I just played a couple days ago in the Nike Influencers game at the Shy League Classic.
Congratulations on being an influencer, a very powerful basketball figure in the city now.
I guess so. I've even got a participation medal from it.
Bravo! How did the game go, though?
It went great until they started giving me the ball and trying to get me to take shots.
So you're saying you're not as good at three-point shooting as Doug McDermott?
I think he's got a little bit on me in that.
Was it a terrific experience, though?
Well, I mean, was it fun? It was fun.
So
I was terrible, but it was fun. You can ask. I mean, we had our friend Vinny Goodwill from Comcast Sportsnet. He was in the game. Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation was in the game. It was fun.
I would say in regards to my own basketball skills, Sean and I have not yet played horse or one-on-one, so we can't give you a definitive answer.
We might have to do a horse game between the two of us for the content and just talk about the results.
We really should. Off-season news. That'll be hard Bulls news.
The off-season content creation game is rough, folks.
I played 4 years of high school basketball at a really small school.
Okay, so you would definitely beat me at basketball because I have...
The problem is I can't shoot very well anymore. Like, I feel like that's the thing. Like, I'll still play, like, slow pitch softball, and like those skills still seem to be there, and I can still get up and down the court and dribble, but it's like your shooting touch totally disappears if you don't play basketball very often. I feel like that's the sport that goes pretty quick, so we'll have to do that sometime.
What I will say is that I had several shot attempts in my game experience on Sunday. Most of them were just kind of forced, where like it was at the end of the game and they were realizing that I hadn't made a shot yet, so everybody was trying to feed me the ball and get me to shoot, and that was a little bit forced. None of those came close. Earlier on in the game, I had a shot that actually came to me in the flow of the offense, and I took that shot and it hit rim.
Oh, there we go. That's called progress. And the good news is Sean has more time to shoot hoops because it's the off season for the NBA. We do have the Olympics. They get underway Friday
night. Opening ceremonies Friday. USA first game is Saturday.
Believe they play China. I'm predicting a 53-point rout.
Something like that.
We will keep tabs with Jimmy Butler there. We don't have a set schedule exactly for our next podcast, but we will let you know via Twitter, where you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also follow us at Cody Westerlin on Twitter, at Hyken. Email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. With any basketball-related questions, any advertising inquiries, Sean, where do they find us?
Now you can kind of find us everywhere. We are on iTunes, obviously, so subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. That would be very helpful. We're on Stitcher. Recently, we've added TuneIn. You can get us on TuneIn now. And we're on Google Play for all you Android users out there. Really, anywhere you get podcasts, you can get Locked On Bulls. And you can get the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, which you should check out, as many of as are interesting to you. There is a Locked On NBA show that David Locke does in addition to his Locked On Jazz. Most of the NBA teams are accounted for. Starting to add some NFL team shows. There's Locked On NFL. There's Locked On Fantasy Football. Locked On Fantasy Basketball. There's a lot to choose from, and you should go check out a lot of it.
Yep. So tell your friends. Find us on any platform. And until next time, take care and keep the questions coming in.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.